Every word of God, every thought that is spoken, every song, everything expresses the gratitude in our hearts towards God. And so it must be. God has done great things for us. And I agree with what our beloved brother Terai said. We don't just come together like this, but for a reason, that God will allow what has not yet happened to happen to us. God will not leave us as we are. You remember the story Brother Branham told from time to time about the old colored woman who said, I'm not yet what I ought to be, but I'm not what I used to be. And that's true. We are not yet what we should be, but we admit it. And then there is a great hope. I hope that you will help me tonight. I would like to sing two or three choruses from very old times. I'm sure Brother and Sister Rus and all the old timers will know them. We are always victorious. You can relax. We've heard so much about relaxation. We can do it here, in the presence of God. After all the stressful days, and after all the mighty words of God, we should really relax in the presence of the Lord. But Brother Rus, please be so kind, come here. We are always victorious. So it sounds again. When the lost come home, they rejoice with us. How wonderful to be a child of God. How beautiful to be free from sin and pure. How beautiful when all is well. Through Jesus' precious blood. We have heard so much about the turning point in the earthly realm, but one thing is certain, it comes in the spiritual realm. In the earthly world, it only came the other way around, the way you wanted it. But in the spiritual, it will come in the right way. I noticed in the psalm that Brother Terai read, that two thoughts were mainly expressed. One was the thought to be silent before men, and secondly the thought to speak with God. I don't know if we all saw and heard this, but he wanted his mouth and tongue to be in check, and that he could remain silent as long as the evildoer was still there. And he is there almost to the end, to be silent before men, to speak to God, because the only one who can change things is God, the one who can change circumstances, hearts, the situation, basically everything is God. And if we talk to Him, tell Him everything, then we have trust in Him, and He will honor that trust. I listened to the news very briefly today. I was too late for the news. But in the religious section, and there was a quote given from Luther, and he said,
wir nennen es ja Gemeinde,
the church,
ist durch das Wort,
came into being through the word.
Und ich dachte so,
and I thought to myself,
alle Männer Gottes,
all men of God have known that God has basically done everything according to His word. It is not a product of what people wanted, but God sent His word and put this word into practice. We think back to Good Friday and Easter. Basically, there was a word from God for everything, for the birth of our Lord, for His ministry, for His suffering, for His death, for His resurrection. There was a word for everything. And in Him and through Him, the word of God was fulfilled again and again. The word exists for the church. It is not only the bearer of the word, but through it, God's word is once again fulfilled. And if we take seriously what God has said, act on it, act in faith, we can be without worries. I mean, we worry so much because we believe so little. If we believed more, we would have less to worry about. Maybe that's the balance. God knows. I don't really know. We take the word that the Lord gave to Moses when the people of Israel were to leave Egypt. A lamb was to be slaughtered. That was the word of the Lord. The blood was to be painted on the doorposts. That was the word of the Lord. The lamb was to be eaten. That was the word of the Lord. But the eaters were to be fully dressed, shoes on, girded, staff in hand, not sitting down comfortably with slippers on and so on. But they knew this moment is the start. Everywhere, for every stage, there was a word from God, always a word from God. And every time God did something, He gave His people the word, and they acted on it, and He was faithful to them. And what He had promised, He carried out and put into practice. The firstborn of the animals, everything was killed in Egypt, right down to Pharaoh's firstborn. But the firstborn of the Israelites were safe under the blood, for thus the Lord had spoken that the blood of the lamb should flow, so that the firstborn of Israel would not be touched by the destruction angel. And so it came to pass. We also heard this in a sermon of Brother Branham, that in all of Egypt, in every house, in every stable, there was trouble and death, suffering and crying, tears everywhere. But where there were people to whom the word of God had gone forth and who acted accordingly, there was no suffering, there was no crying, there was no death, there was life because of the blood. The Lord said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And I believe that the New Testament Church is under the blood of the Lamb. And even if the destruction angel comes with all his fury and he sees the blood, he must move on. And I believe that we are under the blood of reconciliation. A few days ago, on Wednesday, I held the funeral in Bernau and read out some scriptures. There was one I didn't read, but I had already made a note of it, and I would like to read it today. It struck me for the first time that Job already knew that our flesh shall be fresher than a child's, and that we will return to the days of our youth. We have heard Brother Branham say that all were young. We also know that there are no old men in heaven. But the fact that it is said so directly is something I noticed for the first time on Wednesday. Job 33, here it says, from verse 23, if there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to show unto man his uprightness, then he is gracious unto him, and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. His flesh shall be fresher than a child's. He shall return to the days of his youth. He shall pray unto God, and he will be favorable unto him, and he shall see his face with joy. For he will render unto man his righteousness. He looketh upon men, and if any say, I have sinned, and perverted that which was right, and it profited me not, he will deliver his soul from going down into the pit, and his life shall see the light. What wonderful words in the Old Testament. We have heard it said again and again that the plan of salvation begins with the words, God spoke. In the beginning, God spoke. That's how it begins. And the first thing he said was, let there be light. Here we have it of the mediator, of the advocate, of the atonement, of life, of returning to the days of our youth. Man prays to God, and he accepts him graciously. Here we have the word grace, graciously accepts him. God is gracious to us. He said to Moses, to whom I am gracious. But when did this acceptance happen? How did it happen? When it could be said, I have found an atonement, a ransom for him. The person who has been redeemed by God through Christ may come to him. He is pardoned. He is allowed to see the face of God with rejoicing. It says here that God gives man back his righteousness. Basically, man has no righteousness. But there was a time when man was righteous before God. He walked with God, and the Lord God came into the Garden of Eden and had fellowship with man at the beginning. He was righteous then and had eternal life. Nothing separated him from God. This righteousness was given back to man through Christ, through the cross, through the shed blood. We have been justified through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And if we take Brother Branham's words seriously, and we do, then he says it means as if man had never sinned. Full justification before God means as if man had never been guilty. And you know very well that on earth it can happen that a bill has to be paid twice. There are bad people who rely on the folly of others, and then sometimes they are asked to pay again. But the enemy cannot calculate like that. Our bill was settled on the cross of Calvary. Our debt has been paid. What else am I supposed to pay if someone stands up for me? And it says here, if there is an angel for him, an intercessor, a mediator, one among a thousand, he is the most glorious of 10,000s. He, our intercessor, interceded for man after he himself became man and was in all things testable and temptable like us. That's when it counted before God. He had to say that there was no other way. You have to forgive people. You put them in this body. They are helpless, hopeless, irredeemable, powerless. They've lost everything. I intercede for them. Here is the atonement. They are free. They are redeemed. Accept them in grace. This is the story of the gospel. And when we have received and accepted this in faith, many cannot understand the Godhead. But it had to be this way. The Lord could not have felt with any of us in the spiritual body. He had to become 100% human, eat and drink, sleep. He was tired, being found in fashion as a man, but without sin. And here we have the whole truth of redemption. God became man and yet remained God. He was in heaven as Father and revealed himself in the Son on earth. Who can understand it? But we can all believe it. Here there had to be a revelation in the Spirit as God in heaven, a manifestation in the flesh as the Lord God on earth. And suddenly the separation came there too. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? That is not a lie, that is the absolute truth. But the next moment, the sword, pierced his side, and the blood was shed. And Paul explains in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19, God was in Christ. Imagine, the one scripture says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Then you could justifiably say, yes, wait a minute. Then God was no longer in Christ when he left him. Both scriptures are true. Both apply. At one moment, the one, at another, the other. When our abandonment of God, our being separated from God, was placed on him, our guilt, our sin, he took our place and uttered our cry. In the next moment, reconciliation took place. We read it in a psalm. Heaven and earth will embrace and kiss each other. I wish I could open it right now. You all know the Bible very well. There it says, righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Where does it say? Oh, we have a Bible study tonight. I wish I could get ahead of you now by looking that up first. But we don't do that. No. We believe every word of Scripture. There is great truth in what we read here. An intercessor has been found, a mediator. An atonement has been made. He says, have mercy on him. Deliver him from going down to the pit or hell. I have found a ransom. Praise and honor to our God. That's the thing. Job also said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. But see how God revealed it to him. How he, driven by the Spirit, summarized this entire truth of redemption. And then he can say, he shall pray unto God, and he will be favorable unto him. Whoever wants to come to God must come to God in prayer and in faith. Verse 26, he shall pray unto God, and he will be favorable unto him. Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God does not push away, God accepts. But we must call on the name of the Lord in prayer. He prays to God, and God graciously accepts him. So he pardons him. He shall see his face with joy. For he will render unto man his, excuse me for inserting such a word here, his original righteousness. That which man had before the fall, absolute righteousness and holiness with God, all this has been given back to man through Calvary. He will render unto man his righteousness. That's why it says in Timothy, there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Not the King Christ Jesus, not the Lord Christ Jesus, but the man, Christ Jesus. He spoke as mediator, as intercessor. He is also King, he is God, he is Lord, he is many things, he is all in all. But it is simply so marvelous when you can look at every scripture from a divine perspective without having to do violence to it. He prays to God, and he accepts him. He lets him see his face with joy and gives him back his righteousness. Just believe it with all your heart. God sees us as people who have never sinned, who have never departed from Him, as people who have belonged to Him from eternity, as sons and daughters of God. The day is also coming. There will be an hour, a moment, when this word will also have become truth. We will see His face with joy, not with distress, not in trouble. Oh, at the moment when the actual being, the human being, our soul, leaves this body, yes, then no more oppression is possible, no more sadness, then everything has passed, and we may behold the Lord. He looketh upon men, and if any say, I have sinned and perverted that which was right, and it profited me not, he will deliver his soul from going into the pit, and his life shall see the light. May the Lord God write it so deeply into our hearts that God really means what He has said, and that it is no longer future as it was in Job's time, what we have just read, but that it is past and present. Present, it is finished, it is done. The advocate, the mediator, has found atonement. He, the only one among a thousand, and he bears witness to man and his righteousness. If we had done it, it would have been only words, and we would all have been found liars. But he, the pure, the holy, the righteous one, he could bear witness to man. And he could say that just as in Adam all die, so in me, that is in Christ, they will all be made alive. Just as they all fell with Adam, so they have been raised up in me. Redemption is redemption. Salvation is salvation. And grace is grace. All this has been granted to us. May the Lord magnify it for us and evoke gratitude in our hearts for what God has done for our souls. And beyond that, I still have the one wish that this intimate love of God, as it was revealed on Calvary, may also be revealed in our hearts for God and for one another. For God and for each other. We don't want to talk about God's love this evening, but you all know that it is the main word in the whole of Holy Scripture. Love. God is love. He is merciful. He is gracious, but He is not mercy. He is gracious, but He is not grace. But when it comes to love, He is love. God is love in essence and spirit. everything else are divine qualities. And if we have realized that God is love by nature, and that according to the Word of God, the love of God is to be poured into our hearts, then it cannot and will not be any other love than the love of which it is written, "For God so loved the world," namely the love of God that was revealed on the cross of Calvary through reconciliation, forgiveness, grace, and salvation. And we may call out to one another insofar as the destruction angel sees the blood, he must pass by. Also with Job, he has struck, he has destroyed and devastated everything. And although I hardly believe it, if you know the word desolation, and have experienced what it means in reality, then you could almost believe that when it is written, the earth was desolate and void, that the evil one has passed through. That's what most people believe. I have no insight into that. I only go back as far as God's word goes back, and that God made everything glorious. But one thing is for sure, when the enemy moves through somewhere, it's like a thunderstorm and so forth. But when God enters somewhere, then it says, salvation has come to this house. Then something so sweet, precious, heavenly, and glorious is connected with it. And people who are spiritually alert can recognize the difference. It's not by what we describe, but by the thing itself that you realize what it's all about. Where God is, His love is revealed. His Word, His Spirit, His nature, everything that comes from God. And so we always have the opportunity to know where something comes from. Our Lord says, "I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." May it please God to give us such a restoration of all that has been lost, that the word and the thing may agree, that the proclamation may be truly legitimized by the divine act, and that in the end it may be said as it was in the beginning, "By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Not dogmatism, not knowing better, but truly embedded in divine love. May the Lord grant it to us. He is our advocate. He says, "I have found a ransom. Give man back his righteousness. I have paid the price. I have given my blood and my life. I am the firstborn among many brethren. They shall all come forth. The atonement is here. Bring them back to their original state, and you will see It will be a glorious paradise in which we will then spend eternity with the Lord God. May He bless us all. Amen. Let us rise for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You together for this hour of grace and for Your precious and holy word. Lord, we know that You have revealed Your glory to Your people, Lord. And if it was to Job, he had to say things, Lord, that were perhaps still foreign to him, but Your Spirit was with him, Lord. Praise be to Your marvelous name. We worship You and give You the honor, O God, for Your speaking, O God, for Your working, O Lord. And we know, Lord, what You have spoken, Lord, You also fulfill, Lord, in Your time, Lord. All honor and all praise and all glory be to You. Hallelujah. In the precious name of Jesus, receive the honor, receive the praise. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.